Well, is he an alarmist or a realist? Stephen Quayle up next on Coast to Coast AM. I listen to him. And we're going to talk about the world economic situation, update on the swine flu, or the lack of it. How does this tie in with all these dead microbiologists? Recent sightings of giants in England? And yes, Steve's concerned about a volcano. We'll talk about that next on Coast to Coast AM. Here he is, back by popular demand, Stephen Quayle. He investigates bioterrorism. He investigates biblical prophecy. He investigates economic events and conspiracies as well. Stephen Quayle, back on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, how are you?
Good, George. Nice to be with you, and nice to be with the Coast to Coast family. Right. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
Whoa, you know what? I was looking at some of the events going on this planet, Stephen. And I was talking to producer Lisa, and I said, you know, I've got to get Stephen back on. You know, I've got to get his views on all these things that are happening right now. So let's just jump right in. What's new with these dead scientists? And since you and I have been talking about this for years now, how many, what's our count now?
Well, I officially have 84 posted, and there's about 16 that basically we've got to get more confirmation on, but 100. Now, these are the world's leading scientists. And George, you and I did a story back in 2003 on Dr. David Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was within 24 hours after he'd been found dead. He was the head of the British Ministry of Defense's bioweapons expertise.
Yeah.
He was the, if there was a who's who in the world of bioweapons engineering, it was Dr. David Kelly. He was very troubled, went on record as saying he was going to be murdered. Obviously, the tie-in to all this is now we're 6 years later, and another inquest is going on. And this one now, we're, I think, 13 of the forensic experts and homicide investigators are saying he is murdered. Now, when I said that on your show, you know, people sent me emails, and you probably got them too, saying, that's just Quayle going off and being a conspiracy theorist. But again, I rest my case, and the thing that this is critical about is that now we have a fake H1N1 virus that's being trumped to the world as the global pandemic. And the global pandemic is interesting in the fact that we haven't even hit any form of mortality rate that's equal to even a bad flu season. The World Health Organization, Center for Disease Control, have both announced that they're not even going to publish deaths. That's because there aren't enough to publish to bring the whole world to its knees. And I think this is critical because as we get into the show tonight, people will understand that there are some very famous people saying the only way to decrease the world's population by some 5.5 billion is the ultimate airborne virus. And this is what we're going to talk about. H1N1 is not even the issue. And it's also important for people to understand that with all these pre-vaccination plans, and now there are going to be three sets of vaccination plans, it all comes down to eugenics. And you and I have spoken at length on different interviews about that. But how is it that the panic could be so heavy, if you remember, a couple months ago, and then it died down, and now we're all being told, even by the Department of Homeland Security, Napolitano, that she just knows it's going to get bad in the fall. Concurrent with that are all of these sightings of massive military deployment in country of everything from tanks, artillery, airplanes, the word martial law. When we used to talk about that, George, even 6 years ago, people said, again, that's just that conspiracy stuff, until Hank Paulson brought it up last October when the meltdown, the financial meltdown, was being used to blackmail Congress into going along with the bailout plan. So how is it that now we're being told that everybody must have an untested vaccine by a company that's notorious for creating a very, very deadly strain, even having sent 20 million doses of a virus out throughout the world, that basically cannot even begin to answer the question, how can you develop a vaccine for a virus that hasn't even gone through its mutagenic nature? In other words, it's too early in the game. The answer to that is, and this is something that people always ask me, so we'll get it right out of the chute, the Illuminati, the globalists, never create a pathogen or any form of weapon in the biological or chemical realm that they don't have the antidote or the vaccine for.
Precisely. They, in many cases, develop that right in tandem.
Right. And the thing that's so pressing right now is that I personally am seeing this as the cause of the day to get people to take a vaccine. And some of the most famous biologists and molecular biologists are already calling it a virus-shedding vaccine, which means you're going to be given the live virus, so you become, I coined a term a number of years ago, an infecton. In other words, you're a walking infectious harbinger or vector, and this is what's critical for people to understand. And when you tie it in with the chemtrail spraying, and for years and years and years, I've been harping about, and we'll talk about HARP in a minute, but I've been, let's say, sounding the alarm that the chemtrails were an initiatory chemical and also biological dusting of the world population, so that when the final phase of global population control came into being, we'd be inoculated with something that would be the pièce de résistance of the bioweaponers' ultimate dream slash our ultimate nightmare. And that's the death of 5.5 billion people. Now, that's really hard for people to imagine. But may I read an interesting quote that was given a number of years ago? And this is really important. This is a very, very important quote because it's Dr. Eric Pianca, University of Texas, evolutionary ecologist. And he's this guy. Boy, how fitting is this? He's a lizard expert, okay? Now, this is what really makes sense. A lizard expert saying why he hates humanity.
Lizard expert.
Yeah, lizard expert. David Icke would have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, he would.
War and famine would not do. Instead, disease offered the most efficient and fastest way to kill the billions that must soon die if the population crisis is to be solved. AIDS is not an efficient killer because it's too slow. My favorite candidate for eliminating 90% of the world's population is airborne Ebola, Ebola Reston, because it's both highly lethal and it kills in days instead of years. We've got airborne diseases with 90% mortality in humans killing humans. Think about that. You know, the bird flu is good, too. For everyone who survives, he will have to bury nine. Now, again, I could go on and on 100 quotes. We did post a story on my website, stevequayle.com, for your Coast listeners to go to. But what it basically is laying out is the brightest and the most famous global engineers from Henry Kissinger, so many people, even President Obama's new science advisor talking about eugenics. And see, this is the thing I want to get across tonight. The underlying theme of wasting, eliminating, assassinating, murdering all these scientists, these were the men that would have stood in the way of this ultimate attempt to destroy 9/10 of the world's population.
They would have been the experts that people would have turned to for help.
Absolutely. So the thing is that, and we've got to talk about this because under martial law, and this is really critical, I'm getting reports from Kalispell, Montana. I'm getting reports from all over the country. But let's just take Montana, where SWAT teams have come in to secure the hospital. They're being told to expect a total, now listen to this, total civilian uprising, and nobody will be allowed to come into the hospital, and no one will be allowed out. Just in the last 24 hours, I've been informed that if the nurses...
What are they so paranoid about, Steve? Or is this just some kind of a event to do their master plan?
It's the event, George, to do their master plan, and they want to make sure that any form of help or aid or comfort to the sick and dying is cut off. It is probably, there are no words I have in my vocabulary to describe the gruesome and psychotic nature of their plans. It actually defies imagination.
Is it ironic they're working on a national health plan?
Yeah, well,
and they're talking about a pandemic too.
Yes, and see, the two are, let's just say this, there's no limit to oxymorons in Washington, and there's no limit to insanity and inanity. The inane and the insane are running the ship.
They have eight cities. They are testing 2,800 people with this vaccine for the swine flu.
Right, and if you go to all the statements on eugenics, you know, I wrote a book called Genetic Armageddon, and what a great title. It has to be updated because, again, it's endgame. It's countdown time. It's in play. You see, for so many years, you and others on talk radio have been warning about these days, and so many guests and so many people sound the alarm. And it's hard now to wrap your brains around the fact, in my opinion, I'm talking about me, my emotions, too, that these guys are going to try their best to pull it off. And then, you know, shame on the U.S. military for going along with this because, again, here's the thing. The idea, well,
they haven't yet.
Let me share this with you. By their and not all the military. Forgive me. I don't mean to paint them with a broad brush. But what I am saying is this: is that the martial law and the implementation of martial law and the communications and all of the C-130s flying over all the different airports and parachutists. And this is beyond the national law enforcement or national level exercise. This is the actual deployment, and we're talking literally not just U.S. troops, but a lot of foreign troops, and people have poo-pooed that for years. But even tonight, we got I think I forwarded to you, George, a communication from someone in Idaho talking about all the foreigners are picking up on their radios, and they're talking about the exercise in little sleepy Idaho town that make you think it's Sarajevo, you know?
Yep.
And so the thing is that what I'm saying is, look, 2 + 2 really does equal 4. Doesn't matter if you don't like the number 2. Doesn't matter if you don't want to add it to the number 2. But 2 and 2 is still 4.
When Henry Kissinger was heading up the National Security Council back in 1974, they wrote a classified 200-page report that talked about worldwide population control with food and other things. So they actually have been planning this for 35 or 40 years.
Absolutely. Listen to this. Henry Kissinger, may I quote him? This is fascinating. Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world because the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals from abroad, especially from less developed countries. And then he goes on to say, world population needs to be decreased by 50%. And it's fascinating that basically he says that all the elderly should die to make way for the new. Now, my answer to Henry Kissinger is after you, you know.
Well, now back to this vaccine for a moment. The 2,800 people in 8 cities who are going to get this test. And then they're going to go forward in the fall with 160 million vaccines for
correct,
whatever they develop. How can they work that fast?
Well, that's the idea. They can't unless it was already in the making. You see, this whole thing is orchestrated. You can see it from the murder of the scientists. You can see it from the appropriations. You can see it in the black budget, black operations budgets of some of the different bioweapons programs. You can especially pick it up from the former intel community and active intel community. And when I mean this, former agents from the Soviet Union, current agents from this country, that country, it's interesting. There may not be honor amongst thieves, but vodka seems to loosen the tongue of a lot of different people.
Absolutely. Now, what do you say to someone when we take calls later tonight who says, Steve, I take the vaccine. I'm afraid of the flu, and I do that. See, I've never been one to tell someone to take it or not to take it. It's their business. I'll just report on what I know and what I do, and then I tell them what I do, which is I don't take it. But what do you tell them?
I tell them the same thing, and I say, if you will be honest before you take it, I believe that anyone who's doing independent investigation, there are so many amazing articles, and by the most famous living, emphasis for how long, living scientists out there saying, do not take it, do not take it. Now, does it make any sense to tell people not to take it? If there is a global plan, and if you are convinced that something is amiss and things are strange in this country, then you've got to say, how come this thing is so premeditated and pre-orchestrated, and what is the ultimate outcome? By the way, in talking with law enforcement, I have a lot of law enforcement friends. They post on my forum. They post on different forums, and they are all starting to sense something very ominous, George. We've already got confirmation from about 7 or 8 states that the Highway Patrol, State Patrol is being told to be able to basically be ready to be deployed any place in the country. Now understand, what good would it do to deploy California Highway Patrol, let's say in Idaho or Idaho? Why is the cross posting or cross assignment of Highway Patrols and law enforcement officers being so push? Well, it's based on the idea that obviously you're going to have a group of people out there that are on the front lines, the first lines, to i.e. control the checkpoints. There is going to be mandatory vaccination. It doesn't matter what people say. I don't believe it. Go to the WHO documents, the Model Health Emergency
Powers Act that we talked about years ago.
You and I, remember we did a show on that, or we did a large segment of a show on that. Well, interestingly enough, in the last couple of days, it's also come out that it is under United Nations control. Now, this is something that most people should have a little bit of frosting on their cake over. Why would you, as an American citizen, be subject to United Nations, World Health Organization, their command structure in the case of a global pandemic, which they are, you know, they've moved us to six, yet there's nobody dying from it? Well, the only answer to that is you have to go to the global and United Nations population agenda and their population control agenda. And that's what it all boils down to.
The Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which they passed years ago, is used when a town or state is faced with a pandemic situation.
Absolutely.
And there it is.
And then again, I posted a story, you probably saw it, refusing vaccination labels you a criminal, so says the World Health Organization. Yeah, and this is kind of a critical people critical information that people need to recognize, that obviously the broadening definitions of terrorism, whether it's veterans, whether it's constitutionalists, Christians, homeschoolers, anybody that speaks out. You know, it's interesting. If you believe in free speech, you better just assume that that's a terrorist act. And you and I have spoken at length in the past that when the process is of identification, vilification, nullification, and then destruction is in play, you are absolutely doing your darndest to make sure that there is a total breakdown in society. You're pitting one group against another group, and everybody against everybody, and it's this thing is being orchestrated to such an extent. Some of the even Russian, like Viktor Suvorov inside the GRU, and all of the different guys that have been debriefed over the years, the former Soviet spy masters, etc., talked about the goal of the former Soviet Union, i.e., and now current Russia, was to basically cause civil war and strife. And things, by the way, are not getting better between the United States and Russia. If anything, they're worsening by the day. I.e., remember we talked about subs off the coast?
Yep.
And everybody.
Oh, they're there. They're there now.
Yep, they're there now. And you're a Navy man, but I had a submariner, a former nuclear submarine captain, get a hold of me and basically say, look, this is a war posture. They use one attack sub to fight off any subs that would be sent against them. The other one is the launch platform. We're not talking about a launch platform. We're talking about super sunburn missiles. We're talking about the squall torpedoes. We're talking about serious stuff. So the escalation has increased, and quite candidly, I am so upset over, again, the internalization of the American people being considered the enemy instead of dealing with the real enemies.
Absolutely. We'll talk Giants next hour, Stephen, but let's continue with some of these things that are going on around this country. Now, there's a rush to vaccinate newborns, young children, pregnant women. Why?
Well, because if you vaccinate pregnant women and newborns, you've just destroyed the entire future generation. And this is what I think people need to understand. In talking with the scientists I've talked to, in talking with the spies I've talked to, in talking with different people from different branches of military, there are always multiple vaccines. They'll use, let's say, vaccine one, and vaccine one will not have the virus shedding properties. So people say, see, nothing's happened. Then they'll use vaccine two, a little bit more let's say this negative factors will come out of it and people get sick. But the real issue is vaccine three. And this isn't it interesting that we were told it was one vaccine and now it's going to a three-stage vaccine? By vaccinating the mothers and vaccinating the children, you wipe out the next generation. And I personally am on a rampage about vaccinating children because I have my oldest son, love him dearly, but he had the most violent reaction to vaccines. And the doctor, when I brought him in with 107 temperature, told me, oh, it was just a thing. And I basically, George, I've told this story before, but the man, you know, I just had to basically throw him up against
the wall. That's convulsion time, Stephen. We'll be back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're a StreamLink member, and by the way, now you, in addition to your podcasting, you can go back 1 year into the archives, and that's going to become 2 years soon enough. But we've got our StreamLink chat, as you know. On the second Tuesday of every month, I do a chat, and then we have a guest do a chat during the month as well. This One's Me starts at 8 p.m. Pacific time for Streamlink members. Just fire away with your questions, and I'll fire away with my answers. I want to talk about ammunition with you tonight, Stephen, but before we get into that, we've got to talk about the world economy in the perception, of course, now that things are starting to get a little better, but they still are really rough.
Well, I think not only are they rough, but getting better is just nothing more than a psychological operation. I just saw the newest bankruptcy figures for this month, George. 126,000 people have declared bankruptcy this month.
They have no choice. I guess they have to.
They have no choice. So when people say it's going to turn around, look, outside of the buy, let's just say the stock market's so good, you know, you got to ask yourself then why the insiders like Bill Gates and others are selling their shares by the millions of shares due to their SEC filings. And I think that it's important that people understand that you have to have a manufacturing base. You have to have a job before anybody can buy a house, buy a this, buy a that, or be able to buy food or eat or anything else. I think that what we're seeing, and this is critical to understanding, is a systematic destruction of the United States. What was it, 9 years ago when we first started talking? We talked about this, and you know, people said, oh, we're going to pull out or it never get bad. And obviously, last October 7th, it was more than bad. We were threatened with the entire breakdown of the U.S. financial system. Even now, the President of the United States is meeting with the President of Mexico and Canada, and there's talk of, again, the Amero currency being brought on. There are rumors coming from Wells Fargo, different banks, Bank of America. I mean, there's rumors coming all over the place from some of the most famous newsletter writers, Harry Schultz, Jim Sinclair. Jim Sinclair reporting on Harry Schultz. People that are emailing me from all the different financial institutions saying it appears there's going to be a bank holiday. The question is, what have all nations done when their debt becomes so great they can no longer service it? And the answer to that is repudiate it and replace it with something else. So the Amero, a lot of people say, I don't believe it. Well, let me share this with you. I had a gentleman come by my store with actual Ameros that were copied on a high print laser and real size, not miniature, not like the ones I even post on my website, but the real McCoys, both front and back. And it was given to him by someone who worked in the Federal Reserve. And I can tell you point blank that based on military generals who are probably listening to the show tonight and others, the Ameros have been given, even given to China, because China is really putting pressure on the United States to live within the budget. People ask, how can people spend money like there's no tomorrow? My answer to that is simple. They are going to repudiate the U.S. dollar at some point. And when that day happens, then the infamous hyperinflation kicks in. But not only that, we will see a complete breakdown. We're already seeing it, by the way, in the inner cities and the amount of homelessness, et cetera. But we're going to see a complete breakdown of law and order, which we got to get back to the police, George, real quickly. In the different areas of the country, the police are being told that their families will be held in safe places. But people have got to understand that based on previous historic, whether it was Stalin, whether it was even Mao, Hitler himself, they used the families of the law enforcement as pawn to compel police to do things they don't want to do.
Interesting.
And that's really critical. And now all of the police radios are controlled by the federal government, Department of Homeland Security. They have a whole new communications network. Well, if you're talking about police being in a situation where hospitals will be closed down and SWAT teams in hospitals, boy, is that not a contraindication of sanity? The deal is that the interoperability, it means that all the communications are now controlled by the federal system, and that the military commanders are in fact ordering police and locals, and that's the email I sent you. And I think it's important that under the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, this all affects the economy, which I'm going to get to just really quick. It will be a criminal offense for Americans to refuse a vaccine. Police are allowed to use deadly force.
Or they'll quarantine you. They'll take you away.
And quarantine, they'll take you away. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. And I think that's what people have got to understand. In order to have the economy turn around, I asked just three questions. Where's the manufacturing? Answer, where are the jobs? And where is the debt relief? And the debt relief just simply means that America got hooked, and intentionally so, by Alan Greenspan. I don't care how he tries to weasel. Remember when he told everybody to go out and borrow money and buy homes?
Mm-hmm.
It was the greatest setup by the international financial elite. It was the biggest bait with the smallest hook, so it was easy to swallow. And now you've got the adjustable rate mortgages resetting very soon, and you've got people in a desperate financial situation. My daughter, who's a hairdresser, said in Bozeman, Montana, we have a very wealthy community called the Yellowstone Club. And even one of the people that lived up there sat in her chair, she said, last Saturday, and just wept and wept and wept because she had to borrow money to get her hair colored. And this lady said, I thought our money would never run out. Well, it doesn't matter if it's wealthy or if it's the person that just simply can't put food on the plate. And I think the critical point for everyone to keep in mind is that when the bank capital dries up and the banks are bailed out at the expense of the American public, and then the American public is taxed, there is such a fury and rage building, George, that again, it feeds into the thing. The disobedience, civil disobedience, when Congress is saying to people who are just expressing their First Amendment rights that you're Nazis, i.e. Nancy Pelosi calling people Nazis is kind of an oxymoron, because the deal is they have this attitude, do as we say, not as we do, as i.e. in the health care bill, as you know, Congress doesn't want to have it apply to them. Well, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander, unless, of course, the gander is going to end up on the plate as supper.
Well, look what they've been doing, Stephen, since 9/11. First of all, look at the tragedies and the events that we have had to endure. The horrid situation of 9/11. Then we go into Afghanistan and Iraq. Now we have this economy the way it is. And now they talk about this pandemic with the swine flu. I mean, they don't let up.
Well, they don't. And how about this? $500 million for jets after Congress rakes over the coal, the, you know, Fortune 500 companies that fly around, at least the Fortune 500 companies that have private jets make something. You see, this is the disconnect. This is the attitude of the French Revolution, okay?
I bet they scrapped that. There's been such a scream.
It's already come out that the Pentagon is on their case. But see, again, it's the attitude. The attitude is when you elect a representative, they're to represent you. But when they say basically go to hell, do what we say, and that's why you've seen the videos, I'm sure, on the internet of the YouTube where people are really getting angry. And, you know, you've got two sides. I would say this, the polarization of this country is becoming so great, at some point it gives. And that's why over the years in preparing people, trying to get people to not be in the place where everyone else is in a panic, that's the preparation mindset. But now I think it's becoming even more problematic. It's becoming more obvious that things are not only rising in price, but scarcity. Scarcity is the name of the game. Again, if banks will not honor letters of credit, then importers can't bring their goods in from overseas. And obviously things that people are accustomed to are becoming more scarce. And it's fascinating. You go into Walmart, they've changed the floor plan. You're trying to make the stores look full with less amount of or less volume of goods. And obviously they do that because people just don't have the money that they had during the, you know, first 9 years of the turn of the century. So what we're seeing, I think, is this, is we're seeing the pre-panic mode now, and the realization that all the promises that were made during the election, change, oh, we're going to have change, all right, but I think it's going to be something that most people can't even begin to grasp as to the relevancy and the danger they're going to be facing.
All right, on to ammunition, on to guns, and the possibility of confiscation.
Well, first of all, it is reported that Henry Kissinger, when he was at the G14 meeting, said that by September, the guns would be confiscated. It is a given. Let me share this, that I, over the years, talking, being on talk radio, knowing a lot of people, the military sources tell me that, the intelligence sources tell me that, and see, people say, oh, there are too many gun owners. Well, interestingly enough, gun owners have already been matrixed and GPSed. In other words, I live in a neighborhood that's probably 90% Obama. It wasn't like that before. door. And I actually got GPS, George, my house, okay? So I followed the GPS guy, and this is a true story. And the three guys I know that are hunters, they got GPS. Everybody else did not get GPS, and everybody else, you know, you'd kind of get the lay of your land by, you know, the political signs that go out. And as I've talked to the different people out there in the world of black ops, now I'm talking about the good guys in black ops, there's bad guys and good guys. The thing is, they're building a threat matrix. Let's say you've got a neighborhood of 300 people and there are only three gun owners. Well, you don't send the same team in. It has been already put forth in a writing and in agreements that the United States is going to give over to the United Nations the list of all gun owners. So when people go to get the FBI background check, all those records, all the 4473s, I was in the firearms business for 20 years, all the different forms that have been filled out on gun owners are in a database, even though they're not supposed to be. But more so than that, you've got a situation now, and I think this should have made everybody in America flip out when Janet Napolitano said that it's your duty as an American to inform on your neighbor. Alex Jones and I were screaming about Marcus Wolf, the head of European Stasi, East German Stasi, secret police, and Yevgeny Primakov, basically head of the KGB, hired by the Department of Homeland Security. And you and I did a show on that, too. We did a segment on that years
ago. We've touched them all, and we've been years ahead of the curve.
Right. And so why would the United States hire two of our most arch rivals and enemies? We spend billions of dollars to try and defeat Russian and East German intelligence, only to hire them. A friend of mine actually knows you, Mr. Primakov, and he said to my friend, he said, "You spend billions to fight us. You spend tens of millions to hire us to put you under the very thing we're finally getting out of." You know, amazing. Marcus Wolf is dead. He died a couple years ago. He was the epitome spy master. Nobody did it better, not even James Bond.
Can you still get ammo these days?
Yeah, but ammo has increased in price dramatically, and those who are reloaders are finding out that it's very difficult to get primers, it's difficult to get powder, it's difficult to get bullets many times. But you can get ammo, but it's very, very difficult. It's loosened up a little. And one of the reasons, and this is something that nobody touches on, about 2 years ago, I put out on my website that the Department of Homeland Security had given pretty close to $1 billion in a blanket purchase order to buy up the major calibers. Major calibers would be 45, 9mm, 40, Smith & Wesson, 223, 308, and 12-gauge shotgun rounds in the various configurations. And I said, they're doing this because, remember, when you can print the money, you don't need to worry about where the money's coming from. So all the major manufacturers have huge, and by huge, I mean huge, purchase orders by not only the military, but also by all of the different law enforcement agencies. And when asked, a friend of mine asked one of the purchasing agents, who's all this ammo going to be used against? He said, you know exactly as well as I do, the American people.
You know, I'm told by law enforcement that they are having trouble getting ammunition as well.
Right. Well, see, they have budgets that have been decreasing dramatically. Today I was in contact with one of the largest police departments in the country, and their helicopters are being grounded, and there's all of their, you know, special budgets for a lot of stuff. Now, it's interesting. It depends on the location, and it depends on the agreement or willingness of a specific police department or sheriff's office to work in conjunction with the federal government. Those who work in conjunction with them seem to have no problems with ammo, but that is a problem even with the police departments around the country, because they try and live within an ammo budget, for instance, for training and practice, etc. And when ammo triples, their budget doesn't triple. They have to really conserve what they have. And I've actually been contacted by different law enforcement friends to say, "Hey, Steve, you used to be in the business. Can you find us some?" And you can find anything you want. It's just, can you pay or expect to pay 2 year ago prices? Can't be done.
Can't be done at all, Steve.
Can't be done.
What about the troops, foreign troops in the United States? Do you hear about this? I know they come here to train.
Well, see, the thing is that under George Bush Sr., when we closed down all of the bases, the military, not all of them, but 122 of them or something, those were basically signed over to NATO. According to a lot of military generals and different people that I have talked to, there are 345,000. Listen, don't argue with me. Argue with the head of special operations. The point is that 345,000 foreign troops in this country. People say, well, I don't see them. Well, the deal is you take 122 bases that were designed for the Cold War, and you can basically rotate them in and out. And by the way, they don't all wear Army green or Eastern Bloc camouflage. You can integrate them into the different communities, and it's interesting to see the very plan to do that by basically keeping them in civilian clothes, and even all of the exercises that are taking place under martial law / gun confiscation. Let me share this. 99% of the people I talk to volunteer. This is all done to take away the guns of Americans. People say, oh, there are too many guns in America. People don't understand modern warfare. You have to understand how it was done in Iraq, how it's done in Afghanistan. They come in with predetermined lists. And, George, we're talking about C-130s practicing, listen, high-speed drops over major metropolitan cities, not only in mid-America, not only in the West, but also up in Glacier National Airport, which is up in Kalispell, Montana. That's the northern border. There are absolute statements coming from law enforcement and officials that the borders are going to be closed, not to keep anybody from coming in, but guess what? To keep anybody from fleeing. If they're going to worry about people fleeing, you know they know something's going to be taking place that will cause people to flee.
What about signs that things are truly being implemented?
The signs?
That people can see.
Well, I think that the best thing they can see is just literally being on the highway and seeing the massive movement of artillery, Humvees, water trucks, fuel trucks, and not only the deployment, but it's interesting because a lot of these things are being bivouacked, if you will, or strategically placed in big-time closed-down factories and et cetera, you know, some of these huge buildings. And they're the other sign that I think is critical is that the people who listen to ham radio and the different radio people all across the country are reporting, you know, people speaking foreign language. They're seeing Eastern Bloc troops with American troops training. And it's not only Eastern Bloc, it's everything. So the signs are there. The point is what is the event? See, that's the issue. Is it strictly the vaccination for, and by the way, H1N1, not the issue. What I'm talking about is a biological cocktail, most likely something Ebola / Spanish flu, because they'll claim at some point that this thing has gotten out of hand and it's mutated. When they design a bioweapon, I wrote the book Breathe No Evil.
Okay, but that's not being done with these 2,800 tests, right?
No, the 2,800 tests are basically a placebo to assuage the public fears. The thing that I think has got to be important, you have to factor in this. You've got, again, the dead scientists we've talked about. You've got the plan for population control. And then you've got the local law enforcement feeling very nervous. And again, a lot of them, I don't know how many you talk to, but they'll come right out and tell you they're coming to take the guns. Some people say, well, they're going to use a vaccine. And by the way, under the World Health Organization, you do not have a choice to resist, okay? I came up with a little statement, whether they shoot you in the arm or shoot you in the head, either way, you end up dead.
So you're saying that this vaccine, this test, they're just giving them basically nothing, the placebo, and then they'll say, hey, nobody got hurt, nobody died from the test, so you can take it.
You got it. And to back that up, I think one only has to look at the articles that are written by the scientists and by the bioweaponeers, and those are people who developed. Remember, you and I did a show, too, and I'm just wanting to put this into the public mind and thought. We did the story when you and I did it, when the Spanish flu was reanimated by the frozen cadavers
Yes.
that were exhumed.
Yep, that was a great story. When we come back, we're going to talk giants now with Stephen Quayle. Get up to coasttocoastam.com and look at the story and the picture that he sent us. That'll get you going.